friends, today I'd like to talk on a very interesting thing. This topic is called the stake of the whole life. Many people want to be blessed, successful. I'm not talking about finding $10 on the ground, or you went to a cheaper apartment. I mean the success of your life. You know, we are all given lifespan, several decades. I understand that a couple of decades in our life, the first decades go for you to come back to your senses, to grow up, to understand, to make a couple of mistakes. And then just the few couple of decades, they're kind of deemed cloudy because we're all looking for ourselves. And the last decades are for counting our fruit, weighing our life, just to see, just to rest, just to look from afar at what we have done in our life. And just about 30 years of a person's life is just for growing and for looking back at the fruits. But in the middle, there is a place where we make the stake of our life. What am I talking about? I'm talking about what did you put your life on? Did you understand what life is for yourself? Do you understand what this life, this little segment of life, what can a person do in this short period of life? What do we need to do? Why is it given to us? Why did God give us several years of our life? He just gave them to us for free. No one can interfere into your life. You are the maker of your own life. Any one of you will get up and will go. No one will stop you. No one will force you. I mean that you are the master of your life. You understand me? You are 100% the owner of your own destiny. Each one of us right now owns his own fate. Even those people who are in dependencies and they are still in control of their life. Because if they don't want, then the devil won't do this. He's attacking them and pushing them to sin. We have the authority. We've got control over our destiny. And this is where the question lies, that the devil, he knows that the person being born into this life, he didn't figure out what life is, what the Lord gave to him, and he is trying immediately to take you into his system. All kind of systems, all type of systems, no matter where you're born. America has its own system, a little simpler than Russia, Ukraine, Germany, and so on. And everywhere there is a system. If you're born in Africa, you get into one system. If you're born in Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Ukraine, or somewhere deep in Russia, Siberia, you are getting into a different system. But the devil took care that we, without first figuring our own destiny, that we already start living according to somebody else's will. But this is against God's plan completely, because He created us with a free will. He gave us something so precious that only we can figure this out for ourselves. And you know, sometimes when the second, the third, the fourth decade of our life passes by, we understand that we lived all our life according to somebody else's opinion, from somebody's permission, maybe an unseen, but the next control, somebody is controlling our life, somebody is pushing the threads in our life. What is the stake of the entire life? You know, people are trying to be successful. And usually our people, if we take us Russians. We are trying to make the minimum effort and to get the maximum output. I like Americans. Why? Because they know that this is a lie. They know that the cheap fish means a bad soup. And the Russians until now can't understand this, that if the thing costs 9.99, it will never be better than the one that costs 99.99. Amen. And we think that if we will put a minimum input, we gain something. But when we look at in general on the long span, in the long run, okay, you lost. In the long run, you lost. Why? Because you will have to. You'll have to face the reality that the most expensive thing was much better than the cheap thing. And the same is with our destiny. You know, sometimes we administer our money. Money, they remember us, our life, and our life show our money. If we have a few money, we can't do much. If we have a lot of money, we can do much. If you have a lot of years ahead of you, you can reach something. If you don't have a lot of years ahead of you, you can't do much. How can you invest yourself to reach something great? You need time, but the time is something that we don't have anymore, many of us, because we wasted it, we threw it away, we lost it. And we are trying to input the minimal resources in our life to buy a cheap house, a cheap car, a cheap equipment, electronics. And then we realize that the truth is that in the long run, we lost spending out our life for cheap things, spending a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. We understand that we are losing. We have wasted. People are trying to find the formula of success. You know, success is not contained in only one thing. It's like it's like a combination of moments, of situations, of events in your life that bring you to success. Some people call success when everybody recognizes you, or when you don't have war, or when everybody give you applauses. But when we look at the life of Jesus, it wasn't like that. We're looking at the life of a person who was successful. If Jesus wasn't successful, then why should we be called Christians? Why should we move towards that direction? But he had a very interesting success. Look. You know what is stock market? Stock market is something that controls the whole country. Stock market is like an evident moment in the center where all the greatest, the richest people come together and they make stakes. They sell businesses, not just multi-billionaires come there. Companies gather their whole systems that are leading this earth, controlling this earth. They are buying and selling. The stock market is the happiest and the unhappiest place. And at the same time, when one person gains completely in one second, in 1 minute, he becomes the owner of something huge. At the same time, the other person who is next to him is losing all of his life. And very often they're committing suicide when they leave that place because all of his life was contained in money. But this is how stock market works, the stock market of our life. You know, there are people who play the stock markets. It's just two types of people who play there. There are people who call themselves people of the minimum risk. I'm explaining. People who are investing little by little. By no means they are putting on stake everything on something. They are very, very careful. They act with much understanding, with much logic. They take they take their whole possessions and they split them in little pieces, and then they invest little by little into different actions. They look at the raising and going down of the different stocks. So they are moving little by little in these stocks. But people of little risk are the people who they don't usually lose and don't usually win. At the same time, when one action goes up, another action goes down. At the same time, when you took out money from one place, when you have profit in one place, you have a loss in another place. And I know people who did this from our church when they invested. Yeah, he's got $15,000, and then he doesn't have them anymore. Someone else became happier for $15,000. So he's lost here, and yeah, but to work in this stock market to be successful in this system, you need to study this for many years. Someone thinks 1, 2, 3, yeah, I'll go into the stock market, but he loses. And I know so many people personally who lost, and people think that this will be very quick. But you know, there is the second category of people. It's the people that are called people of high risk, are the people who calculate an action very carefully, or they see a company that is just being born, but they can foresee that this company will be great in 10, 15 years. Maybe they need a revelation from above to buy those stocks, like 49% of those stocks, that eventually you know that you will have half of something huge. You know, such a company like Starbucks, many years ago we could buy for pennies the stocks. All of those who invested would have invested in these actions, you would have been multimillionaires. I'm not joking. What am I talking about? Someone who is sitting there in Microsoft, in Boeing, whatever, take any company, sometimes they were just an embryo. And many people realize that coffee is something that people need. Someone said, coffee? What kind of coffee? Everybody boils coffee. Who needs this coffee? 300 years. Why are you buying those stuff? Well, why do you have to mix? You just boil coffee and you go. And somebody calculated, very soon, life will be very fast. The person won't have, people won't have time to boil coffee in the morning. It means that they will be driving through, and this coffee doesn't cost $1. It costs like a good meal. And in the same time, when someone was saying, oh, who needs this coffee? Somebody was buying all the actions, was gathering all the stocks. He knew that investing all his money into those stocks. These are the people of great risk. I'm talking about them right now. Those people who are losing big or are winning big. What am I talking about? I'm talking about those things. I want to just teach you a little bit on the principle of the stock market, because it's easier for us to see the situation, to understand it, and then to apply it to our lives. Let's take our life. Let's compare it to a stock market. Every one of us is a player on this stock market. Each one of you has currency to pay, and it's called life. Your currency is your life, the life that you are investing, the life that you can split into small pieces. You can invest it here, a little bit into work, a little bit into there, a little bit into the business, and you look, your life is crushed in small pieces. Or you can be a person of the greatest risk, and you can take all of your life and invest it into one thing. But it's written, everyone should watch how he builds. You can invest into something that eventually, when you'll grow old or when wisdom will come to you, sometimes that the ears come alone without the wisdom, but then we understand, everything that I did, everything that I invested into is nothing. And I meet more and more of those people who are telling me, the truth is that we thought that we are investing our life into something great, but now I'm 50 years old and I'm just realizing now that I don't know anything and I haven't done any step in God, in reality. You know, And when you look into the eyes of these people, the only thing that God won't be able to do, He is Almighty, but He can do one thing, is to return the wasted years. This is His will. This is His intention. We need to become those people. We need to become those people who are watching. We all had enough information before us, and this information is enough for each one of you to know where to invest. And you know, right now it's very funny to weigh ourselves. Our God will weigh us. And you know, it's very hard to weigh someone on this earth because people are moved by wrong motives, because they can't see the whole picture and they can't give you a right analysis. I can be correctly analyzed only by the one who gave me my currency, life. It means that only He may know where did I invested my life into. And the topic is very simple. The stake of my whole life. Do you understand me? A little bit. You know, the topic is not hard. It's one of the simplest topics. But if you don't understand this topic, you don't understand life. All the greatest things that we need to accept are the simplest things. If you don't understand this, and you're looking at the person who all of his life has been investing into his family, and at the end he lost, you know, these kind of people I know, not just one. He thought that, I will leave the church, I will leave the business, I will be with my wife, I will be with my children. Some people say this is right, or you don't even know what is right. You don't know where to invest. And what will God care about? You know, we need to understand that there are things that automatically come into our life when we put the stake on the right things. First of all, look for the kingdom of God and all this, amen, will be given unto you, will be added to it. It means that when someone will decide to put his stake on one thing for his whole life, then something will be happening in your life. Something will be moving in your life, naturally and automatically. And you won't have to care about that. You're investing all of your life into something. You're sitting, you're driving the truck. Oh, I made a little more money. I will paint a little bit there. I will knock a little bit there. A little penny will fall into my pocket. And you don't even imagine who owns finances. Can you imagine? You can't even imagine who owns finances. But it's not your boss who owns finances. It's the Lord who owns finances. And when He wants, He can give you so much that you will never care about things anymore. You understand me? Why? Because someone does the right stake. You're working hard all of your life, sweating, and you don't understand that you're burning up your destiny that is not invested into the right things. Okay, to the very end of your life, you saved $100,000. Who needs them? What are you going to do? You raised money, you saved money, but your destiny is burned us, and money is not our currency. Our currency is our life. More precious than life, there is nothing. No money can pay for a year of lost life. No one can tell you, I'm giving you all of my possessions. Return me just 1 year. It's impossible. No one can take money and say, okay, we'll give you another year. If the Lord has planned, the life is stopping. And then is weighed. Your stakes, your stocks weighed. Where did you invest your destiny, your life? You know, I'm thankful to God that God stopped me in my youth. When I was just 18 years old, God took me and supernaturally He stopped me. I understand that some people don't have these things, but I didn't choose my destiny. God just came and He stopped me and He said, think. He didn't press my destiny. I gave my own destiny to Him. You understand that God can't press on someone, or He's not God. God can create a situation where you choose yes or not. But God will never force you. Only the devil forces you. We invest our life into one thing or another. People have great risk. No one knows me as a business person. No one knows me as maybe a writer or a musician. Nobody knows me as a sportsman or whatever take, or cinema person. They know me only as a pastor, only as a leader. They know me only as a teacher in one direction. It talks about, I want to ask you this question. It's very easy to calculate who you are. Call me your name. What's your name? You know why Jesus asked this question, what people are saying about me? Because people sometimes, they know better where you invested your life than you know where you invested your life into. And therefore, answer the question, who you are, carpenter, business person, and I will tell you where you invested your life into. I'll tell you where you invested your destiny into. I'm not telling about where you have to work. You understand me? We all need to do this, and nobody is taking this away from you. This is life. But I'm talking, where did you invest your life into? How do people know you? Who you are? How do people know you? What is your name in the spiritual realm? I don't care this earthly name. Tell me, are you registered in the spiritual realm? Do they know you there? They know Peter. I know Peter. I know Jesus. I know the disciples. But who you are? Who you are? And these seven sons of the priests, they decided to cheat. They told the demon-possessed person something, and the truth was that behind their money there was no gold. Their currency wasn't backed by gold, and no matter how what kind of money you draw, they have no authority. Why? The same Bible, the same words, the same Russian language. One has power and the other has no power because it's not backed by gold. I understand that I'm making things more complicated, but I want you to think a little bit today. We say that we are Christians, but let God tell us who we are. We see each other as on Sundays. We smell good. Everything is okay in our life. But how are you when nobody sees you? Where is your life in reality? Where can I find you in your hardest moment in your life? Tell me, and I will tell you what did you put your life on. Sometimes we look at David. David sinned many times here and there. But for some reasons, David had a heart that always returned him back. And the truth is that David was a worshiper. When you look at this person, why did God choose him? Because David chose God. You know why there are so few anointed people? Because there are so few people who put all of their life on Christ. We only speak that we are Christians. We only say that we are believers. We know the Bible. We know it by heart. We know, oh, this is not written in the Bible, Pastor. We know everything by heart. But where am I? Where is my heart? Where your heart is? Where your treasure is, there your heart is. And where your heart is, there your life is. The stake of the whole life. Please think to yourself, what would you invest your life into? What should I do? How can I invest my years? How can I invest this destiny? You know, when I thought about this many years ago, I said, I'll gather everything. I'll gather all my powers, everything that I have. There is nothing in my life that I didn't lose. I mean, I'm talking about spiritual world for my sake. If something is stealing my life, I am cutting this away because I'm taking this piece and investing it again into Jesus Christ. Do you understand me? What is stealing your life? Ask yourself this question, who you are. What is your destiny invested into? How much are you crushed, split in your life? And you look how the stocks grow. If you are a little bit of a musician, if you're a musician, then invest all of your life into music and worship, and you will see what you'll reap at the end of your life. If you are a man of a prayer, stop singing. Stop preaching. I'm telling you the truth. Invest all of your life, and you will see what will you have on this earth. I want to ask you this question, who are you? Stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to yourself, saying we are believers. What is your life invested into? Where are you going to right now? Where are you moving to right now? What are you thinking about right now? Every day. It's interesting. It's very easy for people to determine who we are from a side. Sometimes we are very lost, sometimes we are very troubled, but a person who is looking at us from a side, he says he's not a pastor, he's a business person. He's not a pastor, he's trying to be a pastor, but he's not a pastor, he's a businessman. You're looking at another person, he's not a pastor, he's a good administrator, he's not a pastor. Have you ever seen that? This guy is not a pastor at all, he's a good something else. He washes toilets, he vacuums the carpets, he manages people. Leave your pulpit and invest your life into something else. And here we started thinking, what do we want in our life? Do I want to invest my life into toilets or into rugs? Or I want to invest my life into something great? What do I want to do in my life? You and I, we are on the action of our life. And the stake is your and my life. It's the most expensive thing that we have. You're investing your life into this and that, looking for profitable things. At the very end of your life, you'll find the thing that you want to invest in. When I talk to older people who have gray hairs, they know exactly, listen to me carefully, where they want to invest their life. You understand me? Because in 60, 70 years, they've seen everything, and now they're saying, this is where I want to invest my life. But do you know what? That there is no more currency. There is nothing more to invest. And this topic is only for one only thing, to make you think right now. Where are you investing your life into? I just want to shake you. Just to take you by your jacket and shake you and to come out of your coma. Where are you moving? What do you want to see? The one who invests, he wants to see something great. But do you know that the one who invests into a stock says, I'm going to have so many stocks that I will be one of the most important persons in this company? You know who is the team of the president, the director's team, those who have the greatest amount of stocks. because they represent the interest of the company. They don't want the company to go down, and they call each other, and they come into a team, they buy out these stocks, and they form a team. They decide where the company is supposed to move. They become a part of something on this earth. My dear friends, I have invested. My life is invested. I will tell you. I'm still very young, but I'll tell you. I know what I've invested my life into. I know exactly where am I going. I know exactly what they speak about me. I know exactly what I want to reach in my life. You and I just want to get to your subconscious for you to know exactly where are you going. Where you're going? What did you put your stake on? Stop talking about family. I'll tell you when I decided to put my stake on God. I started giving my family so much time as nobody else gives. I'm not saying that everybody should do as I did. You need to be called, and then you need to invest everything into that. But my beloved, please think. Decide for yourself. What do you want to see at the end of your life? If what you're doing right now is not that, then sell all of your stocks and start buying what is yours. God will make you an entrepreneur. Then take all of your money. Start taking lessons. By musical instruments, singing, start investing your whole life into this, and then at the end of your life, your talent will bring souls to Christ. What do you want to invest your life into? I'm not talking about. I'm asking you: are you happy with what you invested your life into? But the most terrible thing is about those people who never did any stakes, never bought any stocks. Those who invested into something, it's okay, he became a dealer, he has been selling cars, he's been selling used cars. Yeah, at the end of the life, he was given golden watch Rolex, and yeah, at least he did something in his life. But there are other people who are burning years and decades of their life. You meet him in 10 years. I know what I'm talking about. I live in America 17 years. I meet a person in 10 years, and he didn't do anything, and he's become worse. You know these kind of people? You're looking at him, brother, you started better than me. But your stake needs to grow. Your stocks need to grow. If you've invested into something that belongs to God, that God has predestined for you, then my stocks are supposed to grow. Everything in my life is supposed to grow. And I don't become smaller, I become bigger. The anointing is becoming greater. There is more anointing. You hear me? Why is that? Because I invested my whole life into God. Where did you invest your life into? I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, it's better that it's not too late. God help you to realize this right now. God stopped me. When I was 18, in a couple of weeks, I will be 34. But every year, I convince myself more and more that I made the right investment. I don't want people to watch at me and say, "We'll see, will he die? Will he perish? Or he will?" My friends, if I didn't perish until now, guess what will be next? If until this moment they didn't cut my throat, and there were many people who wanted to do that, there is even more people who want to do that. But my friends, the stock grew up. Now I'm not just a person who knows just one or two people. You understand that the stock is growing. Your influence starts growing. Your sermons start producing an influence. If you're a musician, stop crushing your life into small pieces. I'm here and I'm there and I'm here and I'm there. I'm a little bit there, a little bit here on prayer, on prophet conference. They've prayed for me there. They anointed me there. With, well, I'm here and I'm there. I'm everywhere. Oh. No, but in reality, you're nowhere. May my stake, my first 12 years, was the most unsuccessful. I know what I'm talking about. My first 12 years, I invested my whole life into Jesus. And my first 12 years, nobody wanted to drink coffee. And now you see, they want to, they drink. You understand what I'm talking about? You see, they started drinking coffee and those started drinking coffee. Why? Where are you investing your life into? You know that my topics, my sermons, who am I? It's everything that I'm investing myself into. Some people are asking questions a year, 2 years ago. Listen, we want to ask you a question. Why you don't have any sermons? You know, a pastor came and everybody said, today the sermon was bad. They were sleeping, you know. They silently say that the sermon is bad. They just sleep. Why? Because when this is your life, this is not my part-time friends. This is not my part-time. This is my whole life, my whole destiny. And God forbid that what He gave me starts dying. I am speaking this topic to you as a thought. Where did you invest your life? Did you invest your life into something at all? And if you didn't, if you invested it into the wrong thing, sell your stocks, cut relationships with people, and start doing what you want to do. I would better lose my job, my apartment, but I will be praying and dreaming about my destiny. What in your life is more precious? I can't give up my job because I'm paying for this house. And don't you think that you need to cut all of these things, starting with your job and ending with your house and all of your stuff you are paying for 15 years, and 15 years for your life, your furniture and your sofas? And you hear me? Build your own furniture. There is a lot of wood around. Some people say, oh, it's easy for you to speak. You've got everything. But you know how did I get everything? When I gave up everything, everything came back to me. You say, oh, it's easy for you to speak. You have clothes, you have a car. But everything this came when I threw everything out and I put all my stake on Jesus. Then for some strange reasons, blessing from one side, from another side, success here, success there. Some people say, you remember David? Let's read about him. I like the first psalm of David. You know it by heart. Fluffy. Fluffy psalm. Amen. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. It's very clear for us to understand where the stake is made. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. The Psalm 1, David's, the boy's, he started writing when he was very young. He was just a boy and he wrote this psalm. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Little boys, writing, who are you? Play there, run around, play around, swim, shoot, enjoy life. No, he is sitting, and his will, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree. Oh, this is where success comes from, and we want to miss these two verses. You know what I'm talking about. And we start from the verse 3, and he will be like a tree, firmly. Yes. Yeah, sometimes we're like the tree that doesn't bring fruit. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, say whatever, everything, in everything he does, he prospers. There is nothing that this person is not successful in, because the stake is on God, because all of his life is invested into God. And right now, no matter what I do, I just want to do this, and it didn't work for me. I just thought about this, oh, and it worked for me, yeah. I just thought about a need, and God solved it already. And we say, yeah, we'll come to God when we'll pay all of our bills, when we'll pay all of our debts to Uncle Peter, to Auntie Maria. I owe them money. I didn't get this. Yeah, and he will, yeah, in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Everything will become dust. Each one of us receives once in his life. Once his life, you can be wherever you want. You can practice the bicycle sport, blow the trumpet, run around, enjoy life. It's your business. But at the end of your life, will you be happy of your fruit? Will you be happy to look at what you invested into? Some people say, I have very little time. Jesus is an example to that. You know that Jesus was on earth as a personality, as a minister, 3.5 years, you know. The rest of the time we don't know. He developed, he learned, he moved. 3.5 years. We understand that he had this 3.5 years. It was his, after 30 years, it was the inflow of, it was his, strongest years of his life. Like, but everything he did on earth, he said that we can do, and even more. He said, because I don't have time. I have to leave. I'm just leaving. 3.5 years is everything that I did. But when I go, then you will be doing more. And we look at the disciples. Even the shadow of the disciples healed. The shadow of Jesus didn't heal. It's not written anywhere. And many other things. You understand that Jesus knew exactly what he is talking about. You have a choice to split your life into small pieces and to invest it into different things, or to be the person of risk. I'm investing once in my life. I'm cutting away everything that hinders me. What hinders you, you will see when you will choose what the Lord told you to. Right now, nothing hinders us because we're not going anywhere. We're thinking, what else to do today? I'll watch Discovery. Oh, I'm bored. Oh, I'll look Animal Planet. I'll see one. You're just watching. You've watched everything on TV. I feel sick. So where are you investing your life into? Where are you investing your years? But if you put your stake on the right thing, on the right thing, at the end of your life, you'll be a champion. To come to this, it will be difficult. Because imagine to make the stake of your life and then to move all of your life into one direction. And you'll have fall downs and you'll have strikes. But you have to resist. You have to. No matter how high or how down the stock goes. Or today they came to him, today they didn't come to him. Come on. It's not about those people who drink coffee or don't drink coffee. We're investing into something. We're looking at the global market and not at the individual people. Someone came and said, I'm not going to drink your coffee anymore. And Starbucks says, oh, we're closing down because this particular person doesn't want to drink coffee. Isn't it funny? Give glory to God. Church, I know that you understand me, what I'm talking about. I know exactly that you're smart here. You know what I mean here. Someone is coming, that's it. What? Don't drink coffee, drink Coca-Cola. Amen, forget about it. We are investing into something huge, something great. We are looking at the global investment and the global profit. We're not looking at someone who got offended, he went away. We forget about this. We have a dream and we invest in all of our life. Amen? All of our life, we're investing. And you know when I can say that I'm successful, when I will have nothing more to invest, when I have nothing more to invest, I'm laying on my bed, I will be able to say, the brother is burned, pray for him, for him to be able to get to heaven. I noticed that mature people, they understand this very well. They can evaluate properly the situation. It's very interesting to talk to older people. They don't spread themselves. They give you advices that they would like to accept if they were in your place. I'm telling you, if each one of you would find a person 70, 80 years old with a sound mind, a person in God, and ask him honestly, what do you regret about? And you will get such a gold out of that person that you don't get from sermons. If somebody understands me, it's okay. If no, it's okay too. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. I want to read a few verses just to strengthen what I said before. Matthew 19, verse 16. It's the parable about the rich young man. How well do we know this? You know that this young man wanted something. We'll read about this. This young man wanted something great. He came to Jesus and said, "What do I need? What else do I need to do to be saved?" You don't need to do much to be saved. To love your neighbor, do this and that. Don't do bad things. Don't commit adultery. Oh, I've done this all from my childhood, but there is something inside of me that didn't make him leave. What else am I missing? And he said, "Oh, brother, you want something great in your life? Do you know that all of this garbage, where do you want to get? You won't be able to get." Let's read this. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. "And behold, one came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept, what am I still lacking?'" He felt like he's got a hunger, he's missing something. Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete..." Do you hear me? What does it mean? To be complete means to make the stake of your life. He is saved. I'm not talking about that if you didn't make the stake of your life, you're not saved. No, wrong. No, he is saved. You are saved. Everyone who accept the blood of Jesus Christ and gave their life to him, we're all saved. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the stock market. And if you want to be someone, if you want to reach something, to be saved, you just need 1 second, 1 minute. Said the prayer of the sinner, and what's next? To keep what you've got? My friends, I'm not satisfied only with the fact that I'm saved from the hell. Praise God, of course, but what can I do now for my Savior? This is what attracts me all the time. And so he felt that something is missing. He's missing something. If you want to be complete, go and sell your possessions. Oh, he hid the into the wrong spot and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to the disciples, truly I said to you, it is hard for rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus explained that it's not because of the riches, but because you make the stake on the riches and not on God. If you want to be complete, give everything. Make your investment into Jesus. Follow him. He weighed and he realized that it's not worth what he had was more precious for him, and he went away grieved. Let's read a few more places. I will be finishing because the time is short. Matthew chapter 13, 44, 46. Jesus spoke a lot about this. I'll just read a few places. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. Hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has. Church, all that he has. The stake is made, the stake of all life is made. I'm selling everything. I'm not talking about my finances, my friend. This is cheap. I'm talking about my friends. I'm talking about my job. I'm talking about everything that keeps me from buying this field, everything that keeps me from purchasing something. To purchase it, you need to give everything. The rules of game are simple. Only the one who invests everything gets back everything. So, I know one thing, my friends, that at the end of my life, I will be either the person who burned completely on the stock market of life, or I will be the one who Jesus showed me to be. Hear me. And please think about that. This thought is only predestined for you to think if you are going in the right direction. Did you make the stake of your life, at the end of which you will say, oh, I still have time. Listen to me. You said this 10 years ago. You said this 10 years ago. You burned 10 years of your life. Tell me, what great happened in your life in the last 10 years? Oh, I understand my topics are a little bit, they don't make you sleep, they will wake you up. So, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen, church. My friends, please think and say, Lord, I am making my stake of life once in life completely. I am dedicating all of my life to you. I know that usually they don't do like this. Usually people do, but we don't do like everybody does. We are not like everybody. We are children of Jesus Christ. And I know that if I make the stake on my God, on His kingdom, on what He's got for me, I will never burn. I will never fail. It's very easy to make stakes when the market is high. It's very easy. But when problems start in life, when problems come to life, when the war comes, when the devil tells you what you did, throw it all. Why are you started going to this church? Don't you see how many attacks are here? Your personal life is under attack, depression upon depression, war. Attack every day in your mind. You're looking at people around you. They live normally. I don't understand. Who am I? Atonement goat? Do you know who is telling you this? Devil, because you made the right stake. If you would have made it wrongly, nobody would ever attack you. Oh, my friends. What is success? I'm explaining you. This is investment and profit. I've invested and I've I've taken out profit. I didn't just invest my life. We're not stupid people. We're not a stupid church. We want to sow and to reap something. And my friends, I know one thing. I'm putting all of my life upon Jesus Christ and on His calling for me. And I'm telling you seriously that I understand we don't have many people to learn from. I understand if we have someone to learn, we can learn from David, from Jesus, from disciples of Christ who sold everything. They sold their boats, their businesses, and they went after Jesus. We can learn only from here. It's very seldom when we can see an example out there in the world, but I know that we will see something great. Amen. And this is where our life lies in. This is our destiny. And this is our future. Amen. Give glory to God. Let's stand up. Father, I thank you. Just give thanks to Him. Just ask Him, Father, did I invest my life into the right things? Am I going into the right direction? Is this what I want to see at the end of my life? Father, I'm thankful to you. I'm asking you, Lord, please help each one of us to figure out where we're investing our lives into. We see in the Word those who gave up their life, who left everything at the end of their life, they had a great profit. I know one thing, Lord, that my life is given to me not just like this. My youth is given to me not just like that. My destiny that you gave to me is not given to me just like that. And being a person who values my life, I'm investing it into what I consider to be the most important. And this is my God. And I know that when we will invest our lives into where He wants us to and where He draws us to, we will see a great, great reward and victory. Jesus, I'm asking you, please help each one of us to think, to take the decision once and forever to be set free from everything that hinders us and to invest our destiny and to invest our life. I'm thankful to you, my beloved. Please teach us. Please take us out of this coma that the system led us into. I'm asking you, Jesus, please show us your way for us, individually for everyone. I believe that in this room there are great people who don't even understand what's inside of them. There are Esthers, Hannahs, there are Daniels and Josephs. I know, Jesus, we all need to wake up. I thank you, my beloved. I give you glory, and I believe that an army will rise that will be called the Church of Jesus Christ, the crown of your beauty, the one that wins the world, that overcomes the world, that overcomes everything in its way that hinders her. I'm thankful to you, my beloved. I'm thankful to you for everything.